of music, we're going to have Kayla Beamer call in here. I went and saw a preview of the Tibetan Illusion Destroyer film in 3D. It's going to be airing on showing Saturday, May 20th at the Castle Theater with Ebb and Flow Arts, also doing a special performance with Sarah Cahill and Dr. Gary Greenberg, microphotography. But what blew me away was, wow, I mean, this is an amazing ceremony. And Kayla Beamer went to the high hills up there, the Himalayas. And, you know, we know Kayla Beamer as a multi-award-winning performer of Hawaiian music. But you haven't heard him do this. He created this there in Kathmandu. I'm going to play a little bit, and then Kayla is going to call in. The interesting thing about this music, and listening to it, you never guess this is Kayla Beamer's music. I mean, it blows my mind, actually. And seeing it with the film, it really was completely merged with the energy of this beautiful 3D film. It's a 3-day ceremony that happens in the Himalayas, real close to the Tibetan border in the high hills of Nepal. And it happens once a year. And I think Tom Vendetti went twice to this to get all the perfect footage for it. It's a very special evening that's happening May 20th at the Mac. It's going to start with an interesting piece that Sarah Cahill is going to be doing. She's an amazing pianist, and she'll be playing music to a video that is mind-blowing by Dr. Gary Greenberg, where he actually does his microphotography of a small particle of a sugar. And so you'll see that to that. And then also, Keola's music will be playing throughout it, so you'll be able to see that. And there's also going to be, I think this is Keola calling in. Aloha.
Hey, aloha, Cindy. It's Keola Beamer calling.
Hi, Keola. I was just playing a little bit of your music from the soundtrack of the Tibetan Illusion Destroyer film. It's fabulous music. It's so different. I was just saying that people wouldn't necessarily know that it was you that did this music. I hope everyone knows who Keola Beamer is. He's one of Hawaii's premier singers, songwriters, arrangers, composers, master Hawaiian slacky guitar. Had a movie done about you. You've won, I think you got the Lifetime Achievement Award in the Hoku Hanahana, didn't you?
Right.
And yeah, nominated for a Grammy. But wait, there's still more. you wrote an instruction book for Hawaiian slacky guitar, and then this other whole side of your life came out when you met up with Tom Vendetti and went down to the Cambodia Angkor Wat Film Festival.
And
maybe you can talk a little bit about that, and then we'll go into how you landed up going to Nepal, the hills of Nepal.
Sure. Well, Dr. Tom Vendetti hired us as musicians to go down and appear as part of the film festival. So we, I didn't know him very well. So this all went through our agents, as these kind of things normally go. And then we went to Cambodia and got to know him a little bit, and of course participated with some music during the film festival. And, this wonderful friendship began to develop between myself and Tom and my wife, Moana, and Tom's wife, Nancy. And pretty soon, we're all about the same age, and we all, kind of have similar interests. And so pretty soon the friendship just deepened and developed, and then Tom asked me to help him with the film. And I saw, his intent, which was really beautiful, to try and help people kind of achieve more happiness in their lives, which is essentially what the film is about. And I love that idea. And so I was in, 150%. And we then began kind of planning for some trips to Nepal in order to, number one, Tom was working on the filming, and then I was working on the music. The beautiful aspect for me was by physically being there, and getting to know the people and the Buddhist priests and kind of living among them, I really got a wonderful sense of what their music was and the tonality of their instruments.
Which has got to be totally different than...
Oh, very different.
Your background's wonderful Hawaiian music, but...
Right.
But yeah, you're in an entirely different environment with totally different musicians. You connected with musicians you'd never met before, didn't you, to make the CD?
Yeah, that's correct. And that, for me, that I think of the artists in Hawaii, I may be the most kind of... with the most international experience. And the reason is that, several years ago, maybe 5 years ago or so, my wife and I were hired by the U.S. State Department to do some cross-cultural presentations in various countries. This type of thing is called soft diplomacy, where musicians will go out to countries that may have sort of a challenging relationship with the U.S. government.
Mm.
And then we'd work with their artists and do a concert. in a major city, and then we do workshops with with community groups and things like that. So we had to develop a sort of a cross-cultural communication, you know, across languages and across musical instruments. So a lot of this experience we got from our work with the U.S. State Department. Joining me and Moana, my wife, on that journey was Jeff Peterson, who is also he's an excellent guitarist and dear friend now.
And he went down to Cambodia with you to help teach the ukulele as well as you did to these young...
Yeah, then later on we did a ukulele program down there. But I think the State Department work really prepared us for the cross-cultural aspects of the film. So it's kind of a wonderful blessing to have done that before we worked on the film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's, people have to realize what happened at this Angkor Wat Film Festival was life-changing for the children involved. These are children that are, you were talking to me about the issue that you worked so hard bringing down really good quality ukuleles, and the original thought was to give them to the children. The teacher said, no, you can't do that, because you see the cost of these ukuleles would be the cost of what their families make in a year.
Yeah, right. We weren't, so the first time we were in Cambodia, the first festival with Tong was when the first time we'd been in the country, and then we saw this really abject poverty. You know, Cambodia is still struggling to recover from the Khmer Rouge, and later on they had a terrible war with a neighboring country, and, so many challenges, and they've really been struggling economically. So some of these villages are very, very poor. So we saw some of the poverty, and when we got back, I was thinking to myself, how sad some of those children seemed in the kind of dark little hovels, along the path. And I remember kind of reminding myself that when we were kids, we were poor too, but we didn't feel that poverty because we had music and we had our ukuleles and we had the love of our families. So those kids, have the love of their families and everything, but that little element of joy was kind of missing in their lives. And that's when I thought, wow, it would be great to bring some ukuleles to Cambodia, teach the kids how to play it, then leave it with the kids in the hopes that they'd begin playing their own music from their own culture, which is exactly what happened. So we were able to get some funding to provide 44 ukuleles to the kids, and they were nice quality instruments because we didn't want to go down there with something that would fall apart on them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the ukuleles were about $180 each.
That's a lot of money. $180. That's a nice ukulele.
It is.
And you had to get them down there. You had to carry.
Right.
You had to bring them with you when you went.
Carry them because the whole delivery parcel system is unreliable. So the school said, don't try to mail them, don't try to UPS them, just bring them in person.
Wow.
So that's what we did.
What were the kids' reactions? Now, number one, you had to teach the kids how to play, and you didn't have a lot of time, right?
No, we had about 3 days. Well, we're good teachers, and the key to teaching is kind of being well-prepared and developing a relationship with the kids so that they view it as something fun that they want to do rather than something forced on them, and then when you do that, you just feel like the kids are sponges and they're just soaking it all up and they want more and they want to learn new stuff and they want to try this, they want to try that. Yeah, they really become engaged with you. And that's the way those kids were. They were thirsty, for this thing. And then when they began playing, they started having fun and then trying their own songs. And last year, or maybe a few months ago, we got a beautiful video of them doing their own songs in Cambodia.
Wow.
It's like a street festival with all the parents watching and grandma there laughing. And it was so much fun.
Wow. After only
exactly what we had hoped for.
After 3 days, so I guess you found some mentors among the people learning there that would continue the program with the kids, right?
Absolutely, yes. Some great teachers. And then also, we gave them a lot of resources and chord charts that they, we taught them how to read that stuff. So they could, they understand how to follow chords,
Wow.
And how to change from chord to chord and change the key of a piece. So they really learned a lot.
How wonderful.
Great kids.
How wonderful. I love stories like that, Keola. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Keola Beamer, and he's a friend of Dr. Tom Vendetti. He went down to Angkor Wat, and we're talking about the ukulele lessons and the delivery of 40 special ukuleles there and how it changed the kids' lives. Now, fast forward to today, actually a couple of years, you went to the upper regions of Nepal in a very small town. You had to fly into, what was the name of that town that's so dangerous to fly into?
Well, the airport was Lukla.
Lukla.
L-U-J-L-A. That's like one of the, I believe that's the most dangerous airport in the world. Thank you, Dr. Tom Vendetti.
It's like 13,000 feet.
Something like that, way up there.
Way up.
And, it's because it's small and the altitude is high. And, the Nepalese pilots are really good. They know how to do this, but still it's a bit scary because the runway is so short and so high.
So you didn't go with anything in mind. You just decided to go and see what the festival was like, to create music for the soundtrack by being there. Is that right?
That's correct. And then, trying to understand, the main thing about film composition is, I kind of tell my students, it's a little bit like hula. In the terms, I'm not sure if that's such a great example, but it's an example. The metaphor being that you have to, with hula, your whole job is to support the story for the dancers to dance the dance, right? So you're in a supportive role.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with film music. Your job is to support the vision of the director and to lift the story, make it more engaging and give it more emotional weight. Through the use of music. So, but this is hard to do. It's not like just writing a song here and there. It's really kind of a pretty high skill level to be able to do that, to engage the audience into the film. So you're kind of helping them fall into the film. So the main thing is be supportive of the director.
And you had to really merge it beautifully because, again, there's a lot of parts. One is the journey, and part of what your music is the journey getting there, of course, is quite intense. And you go over swinging bridges with these yaks. And you're, I think Tom hiked, but for 5 days to get, was it 4 days or 5 days to get to the temple, right?
Yeah, very arduous and you have to be in tip-top physical condition. The way Tom, Mon and I, my wife, we're big people. We're Native Hawaiians. And we have a different genetic makeup than the Sherpas. They're designed for that beautiful part of the world. So they got big lung capacity. They're thin. They got very strong legs, and they can everything up there has been carried by hand. Every piece of wood and plywood. It's just amazing.
It is. It's, and you can see it in the film, of course.
Right.
So when you were going to create this soundtrack, I think it's a fascinating story that you just were working with musicians you'd never met or worked with before. How did you find them, and where did you go to record this?
We recorded both of the two major recording sessions for the film that we did in Kathmandu, both of them. And so we located a studio. Now, these days, everything is digital, so we can work cross-platform on computers pretty much around the world. The music business has changed so much from the old days when we used to have that big tape stuff. Now it's all, digital information. So many of these things are cross-platform, which is great for musicians. So we knew we could be cross-platform with their electronics and the studio stuff. What we didn't know was the quality of musicians we'd find and how well I would be able to communicate with them and the musical ideas we were engaged in to support the film. So just luckily, we found a young man whose brother was in a band, and these guys were like the top guys in Nepal, and they came in and just played beautifully. And it took a while to kind of get things going and to get past the idea that there's no written, you know, written musical language or written musical notation, you know, that we could work together on. I mean, they don't read Western musical notation.
Were you improvising or did you create a score? I mean, they don't even use the same kind of music. They don't even read the same kind of music as we do,
yeah,
do they?
Yeah, I know. It's very, very different. The scales are very different. The patterning is very different. It's a different world. But I was, you know, because I love Native instruments from my kind of many explorations in Hawaiian music is what gave me my love for just this beautiful, you know, the Native palettes of the world, those color, you know, color palettes of the world, that I just kind of fell into it. And the musicians know, I mean, that's one of the true joys of music is it transcends language.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, musicians know if you, you know, if you got the goods, so to speak.
You know, Yo-Yo Ma did an amazing documentary about his traveling around the world with this group where they just went to these different countries with great music. Did you ever get a chance to see that documentary, Keola?
You know, I've admired his work for years. I'm not sure I've seen that particular one.
That is worth seeing. He brought in people from Turkey, from Asia, you know, from all around the world, and many of them didn't even speak the same language and had different things, but they'd get together. Part of the whole process was that he didn't plan ahead, that they just would jam and create music for a little while and then go on stage and play with just that concept you're talking about, that music is music, and if you're good musicians, you are able to connect in spirit and connect with the energy of what's going on, and amazing things happen. And I think you captured that in the soundtrack.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're very happy with the way the film came out, the way the music supports the film, and happy with the whole message of Tom Vendetti's beautiful film, is that, you know, we can help, well, we can more understand how to achieve happiness if we rid ourselves of these illusions that we often, you know, occupy our minds with. So the beautiful idea of destroying illusions to find happiness, I think, is really well expressed in his great film.
How many instruments did you have creating the soundtrack?
Maybe about seven or eight. You know, they have all kinds of percussion instruments, so I'm not really counting every one of those.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then a beautiful, we have the no flute in Hawaii. They have a beautiful flute, also mouth flute, very similar to some of the work I've done with the Native American flutist, R. Carlos Mackay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just beautiful. It's amazing how beautiful wood can sound in the hands of a true artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of a violin kind of a thing. Which is played in a very unique way, and you know your traditional sort of Nepalese or Tibetan percussion set, which is gorgeous.
Did you end up buying some of those instruments and bringing them back?
Yep.
I was going to say it'd be hard not to, right?
Yeah.
When'd you get a flute?
Yeah, well, we got a whole bunch of stuff, including the singing bowls, you know, which are really lovely. So like a big glass of wine, you kind of run your finger around the outside of it, and it starts eliciting this beautiful sustained tone. Like one of the pieces, one of the score cues I wrote, it's called Singing Bowl Song. So it takes off from the singing bowl and then, you know, moves forward.
I believe Tom and Nancy are going to have a singing bowl like that for sale at the before the show. There's going to be an auction.
Yeah, there's several of them.
Yeah. In fact, I wish I'd gotten one. I got some lovely beads, but I would like one of those, too, because, I mean, it must have been cute. I think your wife, Moana, went on a shopping spree with Nancy in the town in Kathmandu and got some lovely pieces for a good cause, right?
Absolutely. My wife is she's real good with you know, fabrics and shopping.
Yes. Well, she's also one of the most amazing hula performers I've ever seen. When I see her perform, she literally changes. She's like a shapeshifter in spirit. She becomes the whole song and so beautiful. I think she's going to She's going to be at the event to kind of open it up with a chant,
yes,
I believe, right?
Exactly. And then we're going to talk a little bit about our travels and the music. So we'll be there with a very brief presentation because there's a lot going on that night.
It's like a festival.
Music.
It's like a festival.
And,
there's so much happening.
And then Tom's awesome film, which is the main focus of the evening.
Well, I hope you submitted for a Grammy. I was talking to Tom Vendetti about this because, you know, Grammys, you've already been nominated one, but you can submit soundtracks and for movies. And, you should either that or world music. But, I mean, because it's beautifully done and extremely captures that hypnotic sense you get.
Yeah.
Works so well. And I just absolutely, when I watched the movie, I loved the movie and the colors and the 3D part, but the music just merged so beautifully with it. So I was really truly blown away by that. And having done anything like that before, I went, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate it, Cindy. And thank you so much. I always hear wonderful things about you in the community and your work in the radio. So it's a joy to kind of have met you and to get to talk to you today. Thank you.
Are you going to the Nahoku Hanahana Awards May 20th?
You know, I can't because I'm committed to...
To the event. That's the night of the event.
Well, you know, I have... yeah, exactly. I'm committed to Tom on that. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I was nominated for a Nahoku for my CD in the religious category. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to be at Tom's night there, but I was so glad I got to see it.
They wanted me to do Home of the City Lights and do a big thing about, certain anniversaries or something, but I just couldn't do it.
Well, Honolulu City Lights is one of the great ones, right?
Yeah.
How many times has that been recorded?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It started with Karen Carpenter.
Did she do it?
Yeah, she did it.
Wow. How did she find your song?
I don't know. I mean, those guys, in those days, they were, at the very top of the chart. So they had people looking all over for songs.
Wow, amazing. I didn't realize she'd done that song.
Yeah, beautifully done, too.
Wow. Well, you do great work, and you keep expanding your horizons, and now with the soundtrack to the Tibetan Illusion Destroyer 3D film, and on top of that, of course, you're working, possibly going back to Cambodia to the Angkor Wat Film Festival next February or March, right?
Right.
Which would be just awesome, and if that's the case, I'm sure people can help out and purchase some ukuleles or donate ukuleles for that cause, right?
Well, I've got a website that will, sort of pulls all this stuff together. You know, when we're ready to announce the program, we certainly will. But it's kbeamer.com if people are interested in checking in about that.
That's kbeamer.com.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your generous time and your fabulous music and the work you do. I think it's just wonderful. We're going to go out with the second one, which was track number 2. Which is 19 minutes into the CD because it is a soundtrack. We're going to go out with a little bit of that. I think this is the Om Mani Padme Hum, right?
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful way.
Beautiful Buddhist chant.
I noticed, too, that I always thought it was Om Mani Padme Hum, but they say Om Mani Padme Hum, don't they?
Yeah, that's the way they pronounce it. Padme Hum, yeah.
Which was, I'm glad I found out after all these years how to pronounce it with your help. Well, thank you for your time.
Okay.
A big aloha to you.
Aloha to you, dear. We'll see you soon. Thank
aloha.
You. Aloha.
some music of created by Keola Beamer in Kathmandu with the help of some wonderful musicians. The movie The Tibetan Illusion Destroyer will be shown on Saturday, May 20th at 7:30. You can come early and pick up some awesome items in the courtyard that are from Kathmandu. And of course, Sarah Cahill playing music to Dr. Gary Greenberg's photography. Keola will beam there. And the 3D film, The Tibetan Illusion Destroyer, plus a short film on the Dalai Lama and happiness. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon. Stay happy.